SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, and welcome to Preakness Week, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online, and at our website, stevebick.com. Looking out, actually, looking out my office window, and as opposed to literally Friday, now the majority of maple leaves on this little maple that's in the middle of our lawn. Now more yellow than green. Yeah, it's getting to be fall. Preakness time. No, wait a minute. It's out of whack. We know it's been like this for months. But there is plenty of anticipation. Literally at noon, right when we wrap up, they'll pull the pills for the Preakness. It looks like 12. And the latest edition, there was, of course, a lot of activity. I'm assuming most of you heard and are aware that Ken McPeak started to lean heavily toward a Preakness start on Saturday, and then literally within hours confirmed that Swiss Skydiver would participate. There had already been Country Grammar being added to the field, which pushed the group into double digits. Country Grammar, Victor Carrasco riding for Chad Brown and Paul Pompa. And Swiss Skydiver made it 11. Kenny McPeak reaching for Robbie Alborado. And Robbie, of course, Curlin, Preakness win. And I could see that the Alborado decision raised some eyebrows, but veteran rider that Kenny's had plenty of success with, and I wouldn't worry too much about Robbie Alborado getting Swiss Skydiver around. It adds a sidebar, certainly, to Swiss Skydiver's participation. In addition, after working out the other day and being very satisfied with how he went, Safi Joseph committing New York traffic to participating. And I just checked with Safi about a rider. Doesn't have a rider yet. So he's got, I said, not to worry. I said, you got plenty of time. You got at least 2 hours to find a jock. It's pretty funny. So we'll find out, I guess, either word will leak out or we'll find out when they draw at noon. But right now, authentic, of course, Johnny V for Bob Baffert. 1,000 Words, Baffert and Florent Giroux, Art Collector, Tommy Drury, Brian Hernandez Jr., Pneumatic, Joe Bravo riding for Steve Asmussen, Max Player, Paco Lopez riding for Steve Asmussen, and Accession, the late edition, late last week, from Steve Asmussen. Sheldon Russell aboard Accession. Mr. Big News, and some big news, because in just a matter of minutes, we're going to talk to Chester Thomas. And not just about Mr. Big News, but about Mr. Money. How about Mr. Money winning the ACAC on Saturday? And you know, he, it's funny when you handicapped it, you thought, nah, Mr. Money, okay. What do you do with Mr. Money? You sort of kind of glossed over him and he ran, he got back to one of his good races. We'll get to just the, there's a lot obviously to go over, especially the 3 days of Santa Anita, you know, double stuffed Oreo kind of a weekend with all those stakes. But we're going to talk to Chester Thomas in just a couple of minutes. I'm looking forward to it. And actually, we'll call him in a second case. Give me a minute here to get you his number because he had conference calls that he had scheduled, and he wasn't sure if he was going to be in the 9 o'clock hour or the 10 o'clock hour. So it looks like early rather than later. Just letting him know. Here we go. And Casey, let me send you this number too. All right. So you can see how the sausage is made. Right, right here. There we go. All right, hang on to that number for a second, Case, and let me give you the rest of the Preakness field, and of course, Gabe Saez, who was aboard Mr. Money on Saturday in the ACAC, for Brett Calhoun and Chester Thomas. Live Your Beast Life, Jorge Abreu, Trevor McCarthy. I don't know if there's been a jock rumored or tied yet to Jesus's team for Jose D'Angelo. But then, as mentioned, Country Grammar, Carrasco, Swiss Skydiver, Alvarado, and New York Traffic. So a field of 12 will come together today at noon at Pimlico. All right. We've got a bunch of things going on. Part of the California recapping, Tim Yakteen is going to join us. Baffert later as well. Tim Yakteen, of course, mucho unusual, and delighted for her to annex that Rodeo Drive. And we'll talk to Tim. Been too long since we talked to Tim Yakteen. The other highlights, of course, from the California action, Improbable, who is obviously right now the best older horse in the country and the horse to beat when we get to Keeneland. He absolutely got exactly the trip and the setup that everybody expected, that we talked about. You know, that's why there was so much attention and so much focus on his opportunity. Getting him at 9-5 was a little, that was very generous, because it all pointed the fact that, you know, at least 3 of the other 4 wanted to be on the pace, and they went fast. Don't think that they weren't going fast, because they were. And Drayden Van Dyke, very patient, and then just started to lean forward on Improbable, and he just inhaled them. Maximum Security plugged along to be second. And of course, that immediately prompted calls for his retirement. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. Oh, he'll never run again. And he might not, but that's neither here nor there. he in midcourt with, you know, 101, 100 buyers, fairly respectable 3-digit figs for the second and third place finishers that were left in the wake of Improbable, who's really become this year everything that they kind of hoped and expected. And I can't wait to talk to Sid on Wednesday, because the City Zip portion of this is really, to me, I haven't seen a lot of chatter on that front, but, you know, the fact that there's going to be a son of City Zip that's got a real chance, and Improbable's got not just City Zip, But he's also got plenty of turf influence in the female family, and Improbable's got a chance to be, you know, kind of a scat daddy, more than ready plus kind of a stallion. And to me, it's great that City Zip, you know, who is one of the amazing stories really in breeding in our, you know, in this generation, these last 15, 18 years. Because, you know, he started in New York and there wasn't a huge expectation, and he, you know, just got runners. And he really hasn't had, he got better as he got older as a stallion. And, you know, part of that is getting better mares as some reputation kind of grows and, you know, he moves from New York to Kentucky. But I think what? Collected, right? Is City Zip. But there's more. And Get Stormy too, right? Get Serious is a City Zip, but Improbable is going to give City Zip a chance to have a big son at stud. So I'll talk to Sid about that on Wednesday. The 2 year olds, when it came to the fillies, Princess Nord did what she was supposed to, and she continues to do what she's supposed to, but it's kind of hard to really, you know, it doesn't feel like she's beating anything special at all, and so she still feels like she's going to have to elevate a game to, you know, to be what everybody kind of was hoping, expecting. She's done everything she's been asked, but I don't know. She's going to have to, I think, take another step forward. We'll see what Baffert's thoughts are. There's so much in here from the weekend, you know, going back to Friday with the Eddie D, that big runner for Victor Garcia and Jay Pribman. That horse got bet plenty. Juan Hernandez with a pair of, actually, now I'm just realizing, Hernandez also not only Mucho Unusual, but he was on Big Runner, so a couple of stake wins for him. Pratt had a big weekend as well. Expect to talk to Kelly Breen this morning. Firenze Fire, if they ever ran a Breeders' Cup at, again, if they ever run one again at Belmont while he's still racing, it would really play into his hands. He looks set. After winning the Vosburgh, he looks very much set to be a potential player in the sprint. Firenze Fire, 101 buyer for him. Jose Lascano aboard. And he, you know, he stayed fairly close. Didn't really have to rally. I was at Belmont and mostly yesterday, and I'll get to that. We got the Remington action from yesterday evening as well, and so much more. The State Bred Day at Prairie Meadows, and you name it. There's so much to do. Delaware had that nice card, and Chad Brown with a pair of nice winners, that Viadera in the Noble Damsel. He also won the Violette with She's Got You. In fact, Joe Bravo swept the weekend stakes at Monmouth. Anyway, we'll save a lot of that. We got plenty to do. Mig's going to visit later as well. So lots of recapping to do. There's also the Indiana Grand carryover pick five sequence today, too, we'll talk about. Right now, though, Chester Thomas standing by, and I thought it would be fun to visit with Chester because Mr. Money jumped up and wins the ACAC, and another big week for Mr. Thomas's operation. Mr. Big News participating in the Preakness, the draw at noon. Chester, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Yeah, couldn't be happier.
This was a bit of a surprise, no? I mean, he sort of was, I don't know, it's kind of a horse that we were kind of waiting for him to pick his head up.
Who's that, Mr. Money?
No
surprise whatsoever. Listen.
All right.
This horse has been doing great. Everybody's been wondering what was going on. I had a ton of confidence in him. This horse, gosh, you go back and watch that Charlestown Classic, and the jock did just the opposite of what our normal rider Gabe Saez had informed him. So we get grandstanded around the turn, checked. We didn't have to worry about any dental bills that day or coming the next couple of months. So our horse was just didn't get to run. It was so bad. I felt so bad for the horse. Yeah, you back up from there. We run him in a sprint at Keeneland. It's not his game, but it was the only game in town. This COVID thing's really turned our options upside down. He ran a really bang-up race in the Blame State. Come up a little empty, but gosh, you go back and watch it. We had an outside post. We got hung eight wide in the turn. Still made a nice run. The Oakland race, first race back, when we mapped that out, we thought that was going to be okay, but that ended up being a grade one with all the horses in that. And
yep.
Plus, it rained right before the post, and he just didn't like the track. And then you back up to the Breeders' Cup, and not many people know this, so I guess it's time for the viewers to know that, hey, listen, they were still putting sand on the track at Santa Anita the week of Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
And our horse did not like that track at all, as did most horses didn't like that track at all. And so draw a line through all those. We never lost any confidence. We knew we had a nice horse. And Gabe Saez put a beautiful ride. Brett did a wonderful job bringing him into the race. And, you know, we got by on the rail, and the horse finally got to run for a change. So, yeah, it was very relieving, very rewarding, though, because we hadn't counted the horse out a bit. He did a nice job Saturday.
Well, and I thought Saez, you know, placed him really well because they went fast, and that was, you know, you didn't want to be too close to that pace. And that's one of the nice things about him. He's really run well from all different places on the racetrack, and he is, you know, he is tractable. You can kind of place him wherever you need to.
Yeah, you know, normally his MO's been to kind of lay off of him on the outside. You know, we got in that Pennsylvania Derby grade one, and we got stuck out on the lead. And somehow or another, we ended up down the rail, which is always what they say is not the best place to be in Pennsylvania. But we got nipped at the wire for grade one. But to run on the inside of those horses and to make that gutsy move up the rail coming out of that turn, you know, I think really caught Florent off guard. We were already up in the pocket there, up in the hole before he could close it. And you know, he put a little pressure on us there, but gave you a beautiful job. The horse, he dug in gritty. Was really pleased to see, for him, just to get his confidence back, for him to be able to win a race. And because he's been, honestly, he's been kind of pissed at the fact that he hadn't won, the horse I'm talking about. I mean, he knows when he's smart. He knows when he didn't win, and he's been a handful. But he got the job done Saturday, and so it cast a lot of doubt, put everything out of the way. And so the horse put down a nice race Saturday.
Well, you know, you already had kind of had a, I thought, a forward-going year, you know, things, you know, by my standards, and the emergence of Mr. Big News, and you know, now here's Mr. Money snapping back and you know, getting his season, you know, getting the first win of the year. And it feels, Chester, like, you know, you've really, it's easy to say you've had a lot of luck, but things really have gone nicely, and it's got to feel good to have, you know, these consistent performances. It's really notable.
Well, it does feel good, but you know, you got to give Brett Calhoun a lot of credit. I guess the credit I get is I've believed and supported Brett. We've kept our patience, which is not always an easy thing. If people that know me, they can tell you real quick I don't have any. But with these horses, you just got to be patient. You got to be smart. You got to pick your spots. And unfortunately for Mr. Money, the path that we've had him pointed to, a lot of our races just got canceled from the COVID thing.
Sure.
And so we wanted to go run the Met Mile. Brett didn't like that spot for him. And, you know, most owners just demand that the trainer does what they want. I'm a little different. I think Brett will confirm that. You know, we have discussions, but at the end of the day, he knows the horses. He knows placement. He's so good. Puts a lot of thought into what he does. I mean, unbelievable amount of detail. And so everything Brett Calhoun does is very calculated. And, you know, that's why we've been able to hit the board with some high-odd horses like Mr. Big Nose. You know, we had more. We almost scratched mailman money in the Louisiana Derby to run Mr. Big Nose, and because he was really on his game on and really loving that track. But, you know, how do you take a horse that, like Mailman, had won two in his first two races? And I think he finished fourth in the Risen Star, and he's doing good. How do you keep him from running the Louisiana Derby? So we did what we did. In a way, it's probably a good thing we didn't jump in the fray and wear our horses out. We kept them fresh, and that's just been part of the plan. You know, just some things we can't control, and this COVID thing's one of them, and what our opportunities are, you know, they come and they go, and it's been a very fluid year, but it's been a very rewarding year. It's putting another nice year on top of a great year last year, so... Yeah, we're pretty excited.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Mailman Money, and he ran. Did he run yesterday or Saturday?
He ran a nice race yesterday. It wasn't his game. He's not a sprinter, but we wanted to get a race into him. We give him some time off after that Louisiana Derby, and send him up here to Kentucky and let him eat this bluegrass and just chill out. And then we've just been bringing him back real slow and. You know, he's got the potential of being a super, super nice class condition horse going into next year or later on this year. So that was a nice run yesterday. We were, of course, always want to win, but those are some fast horses that beat us. And he didn't quit running. He just kind of got outrun. So nothing to be discouraged about with that effort yesterday.
You got to come back somewhere, and it's nice to get him back. And when it comes to talking about, we'll talk about Mr. Big News in a second. But when we talk about horses that came back strong, talk about By My Standards.
Well, you know that's most of your horses that run in that Kentucky Derby never come back to win another race in their entire career. That's a brutal race, 20 horses. By My Standards took the worst of it. We had a little bit of a foot issue going into the race. We got just demolished coming out of the gate. They opened the track for some reason. We get that rain. It changes the whole track surface 100% last year at Churchill. And, you know, the Derby was really hard on him. So we gave that horse a lot of time off. And he let him be a horse, got his head down, got his feet right. And Brett did a marvelous job just taking his time on his works and stuff. And ironically, he still had the two other things. We went straight from maiden to winning the Louisiana Derby, so he still had that option. And so great way to get off to a start with a nice horse, get his confidence built up. He's been on a roll. You know, By My Standards probably hasn't gotten the respect that it deserves. But, you know, we kind of like that row because we're under the radar. But By My Standards is a serious horse, and he's doing very well. He came out of that Alashiba race very keen. I actually got to see him the next day, and he didn't even act like he'd even been in a race. So we're really looking forward to him going forward here in the Breeders' Cup Classic, getting another crack at Improbable. That horse is such a cool horse. He's got so many gears and so many buttons, and you know, it's hard for a rider like Jose or Corey, who had to ride our horse when Gabe was suspended and due to the COVID, to get on a horse the very first time and just know all the intricacies about a horse. And that is one cool horse. He'll rate, he'll go, he's got so many gears and such tactical speed. We just wish, you know, we hadn't spotted Tom's Adapt there and Stephen Foster, all that, because you're not going to catch that horse coming down the lane. And to follow Improbable around the Whitney when they crawled at 50 seconds in a half mile, trying to make a sprint and make up two and a half, three lengths, a almost impossible, and Problem was a nice horse. So with Gabe back on him, he knows the horse very well, and he knows all the things that he's capable of. And so we got a lot of confidence in Gabe and that horse, and just really looking forward to going forward. These Golden Sense colts that we got have been pretty good to us.
It's a great story, actually. I mean, that was part of the fun last year. I mean, when they were 3-year-olds, that you know, that you had made this this commitment to Golden Sense, and it paid off handsomely.
Yeah, it has. And then the beauty of it is we got more of them. So we got a real nice Golden Sense yearling that we're excited to see how he develops. You know, they all look great and got a nice walk, but until you actually get going with them and see if they got any speed, what their minds are like mentally, and, you know, all this and that. It takes a really smart horse to be a good horse. And fortunately, we've got some smart horses.
Well, and they've been smartly placed. And you know, the By My Standards story, you know, with the focus coming out of Saturday in California and Improbable's really overwhelming performance, it does complement By My Standards. And
well, I tell you what, right? We're got two things for that horse. Number one, I'm not a blowhard or a touter or nothing, but we're really looking forward to the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a hell of a tough race. But I think if we're fortunate enough and we prevail in that test, then I don't think there's anybody out there that can keep that horse from being horse of the year with a conscience. You know, every race he's been in this year, he's either won or come in second. He gets beat by Tom's at that, who set a track record that day. Beautiful setup for him, too. Slow pace on the front end. And in essence, super nice horse. And then you've got this Improbable, who beat us. And clearly he looks to be much the best on the West Coast. You know, there's some nice 3-year-old colts that are talking about coming to the Breeders' Cup Classic. So hopefully all we can do is worry about our horse and hope that he stays sound, because he's as sound as the day is long, and hopefully they keep take care of that track up there at Churchill Downs. That's a thing most people don't really understand, how important it is for these racetrack, the racing side of these businesses, how they take care of our tracks. And it's unfortunate sometimes they don't put water down at Churchill, and we have to pick and choose and hope the weather's going to help us out so that we got some moisture on the surface. And, you know, you hate to put any horse out on a bad surface, but that seems to be some of the least focus with all the stuff going on in this industry. No one wants to talk about the track. And the track is the track is the track, and the horsemen know how to take care of their horsemen. I just wish they'd start taking care of these racetracks so we wouldn't create issues for our horses and then try to smokescreen the issues with things like Lasix and so on and so forth. But we need our racetracks to start taking care of our tracks, put a lot more emphasis on it. It's very important for our horses and their health.
Well, and you mentioned the Lasix part. I do want to give you a chance to kind of expand on and follow up from your June letter to TDN. Then we'll talk about Mr. Big News and the Preakness opportunity. But, you know, Chester, we just went through Keeneland, and for those that did not read Chester Thomas's letter to the editor in TDN, had basically in what, about 5 years' time, you had built up an operation that had, you know, young horses, breeding horses, buying horses, brood mares, etc. You were up to, I think, 5-6 dozen horses, and your concern over the Lasix issue has you pulling back, or at least treading water.
Well, you know, there's no science behind what they're doing. It's a sounds good, feels good thing. And, you know, just follow the science. I will compliment the Maryland Jockey Club. At least they're doing a real bona fide study. You know, horses bleed. This exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhaging is a real thing. young horses that bleed. It puts lesions in their lungs, and you know, it basically it can kill a horse. And you know, you almost wonder if that's not what you know the PETA people want to see is blood profusely coming out of their out of their nostrils and stuff. It's a horrific scene, and it's just very cruel to the animals. You know, Lasix, my mom takes Lasix. It's a good, healthy drug. It's administered in the morning, and it's helps these horses tremendously. To just take it away without phasing it out or having any other options. Basically, when you go to the sale and you buy a $500,000 horse, and if he's not going to get to run on Lasix as a two-year-old, so then you almost don't even race as a two-year-old as an option because you don't want to hurt your horse. But then when as a three-year-old, he can't run in stakes on Lasix. So if he becomes a bleeder, now you're left with the very best you're ever going to have. You paid $500,000 for a horse thinking you had a Derby horse, but he's a bleeder. No one knows if they're bleeders or not. And now the best you're going to get to do is run an allowance race. Now, common sense tells you you're only going to do that once or twice. So you're going to quit paying all this money for these horses unless you just got an endless supply. So, you know, I don't know. I've got my opinion of it clearly, and it seems like you take, like, the executive director of racing at Churchill and where he comes from and the focus on this Lasix thing and how it all started out in Santa Anita, killing all those horses with a bad track. You know, it just seems like that we're just trying to appease people, and they're forcing this down the throat of the horsemen. But if you look at this thing as if it's a railroad track and it's got two tracks, clearly the Jockeys Club and people are trying to work with special interest groups, and they think they're doing the right thing. And maybe they are. I guess time will tell. But on the other hand, don't forget that these racetracks are gaming companies, and they have to share that money from those machines with the horsemen. And we've already got short fields. What better way to make the field shorter is to eliminate a drug which is being force-fed down the industry without any science, so that we have fewer horses. Therefore, we're going to end up with shorter, smaller cards, and eventually they're going to try to get it down. They're already trying to get it down to where there's fewer racing days, so there's less money to share with the horsemen, and they can pocket more from the machines. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you wonder what in the world's going on. And I just throw that out there for your listeners. Don't forget, these are gaming companies, and they make more money off the machines than they do off the horse racing. So that's all I'm going to say on that, Steve. Let's talk all about right. Mr. Big News.
There, that's fine. And I'll send a link for those that missed Chester's piece in TDN, and you can read his thoughts from June. Noon today, 2.5 hours, they're going to put that field together. It looks like there's a dozen. And Mr. Big News adding to the group some thoughts about another classic try. I mean, you've had more horses in classics than a lot of people do in a short time, Chester. I mean, you've had more high-level opportunities. People work for years to get into position where you've been these last couple of seasons.
Well, and you take it with very humbly. No, it's not going to last forever. We've been blessed, very fortunate, lucky. Josh Stevens did an awesome job picking out those Golden Sense colts. Fortunately, I picked out this horse, Mr. Big News, and then Brett confirmed that he liked his everything about him, and I used Josh to also confirm that they liked him as well. So it wasn't just a total pick out by me, but it was. I really liked the pedigree on the horse, and he's bred to run all day, and we proved that Derby Day. Gabe worked out a beautiful trip. I know a lot of people were questioning the thought process, but we really wanted to run him on the turf. But, again, that turf at Churchill gets really bad when it's wet. We didn't feel like that was a good spot to debut him on the turf. And there was more weather coming. So we put him in a Derby, and, gosh, did we get a thrill. And I would say a cheap thrill, but it cost like $50,000 to enter into the Derby, so it wasn't very cheap. But listen, we thought our horse, he made a spectacular move, and But you got to give it to Authentic and Tisdall. They didn't give up. They dug in. They kept going. And at fast fractions, and we just never were fast enough to get up to them. But we tried, and the horse kept running and all. So he come out of his race good. And, you know, we've had just a couple of maintenance works with him. Brett's been very pleased. His first work back, I think they went quite a bit faster than what he was wanting. He used his exercise rider, but the horse was full of itself, and then got him to relax a little bit the other day. So, yeah, we're going into that thing post position. I don't know who all is, you know, it's been pretty fluid. I know Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver, and I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, I've heard New York Traffic is in. I've heard they're out. I don't know some of these other horses. Don't know that much about. I'm sure it's going to be a very, very competitive field, and it's going to take a really good horse to win that race Saturday.
Well, and I exchanged a couple of notes with Safi Joseph. He essentially said they're going to go. He just wants the. I can read what he wrote to you. Let me see. Let me go back to earlier this morning. He said once he checks up. Well, today we'll run. So didn't have a jockey, but you can expect New York Traffic. So, you know, there's going to be there's plenty of pace. I mean, there's
going to be a lot of pace when it looks. Again, not knowing who for sure, but Authentic, Thousand Words. You know, you got to expect those two are going to be some pace, and Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver. So, and I don't know about some of the others, but. You know, hopefully we can get a good draw. Hopefully Gabe will be able to work out a good trip. I think Brett told me they were going to ship out tomorrow, and we're really excited. I've never been to Preakness, and, you know, we surprised everybody down there at Oaklawn, and we got a, you know, free entry, so to speak, but that's not why we're going. We're going because we think our horse is doing well, and he's going to be competitive, we hope, and who knows, maybe it'll be our day to get lucky.
Well, and, you know, frankly, I mean, with already one classic placement, it's just good for the horse as he builds, you know, a career and a resume.
Yeah, and you know what? The horse kind of knows that his personality's changed so much. That's one of the things I've missed during COVID. I usually get to go to the barn.
Sure.
Once or twice a week, regardless. If it's in New Orleans, I'll go more often because I have a home there and it's not far from the track. Where I live in Kentucky, we're 2 hours away, plus we lose an hour from Central to Eastern. So, but his personality has changed so much, and you can see the confidence in the horse. And he's gotten to where he likes peppermints quite well, and always the sign of a good horse.
I love it. Yeah, you brought up the races at Oaklawn that April. I think it was April. I want to say 11th. I had just this morning. I was going through some things, and I had the charts from the races that you know that both of. You know, both of the horses came out of, and those have been as productive a series of races at Oaklawn this winter. It's amazing how many top performers came through at Oaklawn. Not that that's a big surprise, but
yeah.
that Oaklawn Stakes, and then also that Oaklawn the race they put on Derby Day too. So it was a very productive winter.
You got to give it to the sellers. They've saved the industry 2 years in a row now with all the issues they were having in California the year before last. I think they split
the
Rebel or whatever. And then this year with COVID and stuff, and they were able to keep things rolling there in Arkansas, there at Hot Springs. And so the seller, you know, if you're in the horse business and if your hat's not off to the sellers, and something's wrong, because they've done a phenomenal job supporting the horsemen, and can't say enough good things about them. Just wonderful family. But we had all the confidence in the world going into that race. Couldn't believe the odds, but we understood them, and it didn't back. You know, we still everyone had some nice wagers on that one. And I, when we left the paddock Saturday, I said to one of our friends, with us, I said, gosh, I can't believe they're going to give us 11-1 on this horse today. And I'd already bet. So, but the odds dropped there at the last minute. So that wasn't me. But anyway, yeah, we're on a good roll, man. I just, you know, you just hope it keeps going. You know it won't. One of these days things are going to stop. But hopefully we can keep – we got some nice prospects. We got some two-year-olds that haven't debuted yet. We take our time with everything and don't push. Let the horse tell us when it's ready. And we got some yearlings and some nice homebreds. And, so anyway, we're going to take off with what we got, and hopefully we can still be lucky, and Brett will keep doing his job. I know he'll do that. So hopefully a little luck from with the horse and the ride. Good ship, and they all come out of it safe. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say, Steve? It speaks for itself. I think we're ninth in the country as owners. And,
how about that?
You know, it's we had a great Churchill meet. You know, had it, we won the ACAC, we won the Alashiba, we placed third in the Derby. I mean, that's not a bad blemish, is it?
Not at all. No. If you're going to be third, that's not a bad race to be third. Those charts, they look at those charts for a long time.
Yeah, never been happier with third place in my life, let me say it that way. But well, anyway, Steve, I appreciate you reaching out. I hate to rush, but I got
no, it's fine.
I need to tend to.
Get to, and, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So anyway,
you're great.
All the best to you, and hope to talk to you soon.
Without fail, Chester Thomas, best of luck Saturday, and Mr. Big News as they go after another, you know, another big skin and Preakness opportunity for Brett Calhoun and for Chester. And I'll send the link out to his piece.
Really. All right, great. Thank you,
Chester,
so much.
Thank
Have
you,
a great
buddy.
Day, everyone. Appreciate y'all. Bye.
You got it. Chester Thomas, everybody, and Allied Racing is what he operates under. And they've had, you know, 3 years. I mean, to be this successful, it actually mirrors in a lot of ways. It mirrors the success of the Bensons. You know, they came together very quickly. So we'll wish him best of luck, and we stay right here because standing by Tim Yakteen, because one of my favorite fillies out there. I talked with Jay Privman when it came to, we were handicapping on Friday, and Mucho Unusual in the Rodeo Drive. She takes him around, and Tim Yakteen joins us. Tim, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks. So are you saying that Jay had me on top?
It was me, actually, that You know that I like her a lot, and I think I forget who Jay. Well, you know, Bodicita ended up coming out. I can't remember who Jay liked. I think he, you know, he kind of surveyed. I don't think he really had like a specific opinion, but I know that I banged the drum for you on Mucho because. I've been a fan, and she ran her A race. Talk a little bit about, you know, coming into the spot and breaking through after, you know, some placements earlier throughout the year.
Yeah, so actually, you know, we had gone on quite a dry run with her. She had been knocking on the door, in several grade ones, but it's just been a long year. Her last win was back in July. George really wanted to see, the owner, George Krikorian, really wanted to see if we could get a grade one, not only for Mucho Unusual, but also for Not Unusual, who's been a very good producer, been a good broodmare for George, also the mother of Big Score. So either way, we'd sort of been chasing this grade one, and we went to Keeneland to Jenny Wiley, instead of staying in Del Mar and running in the yellow ribbon. She ran a really off race that day. So talking with George, she's a cowbred. Let's take advantage of the Solana Beach, try and find an easier race. Either way, trained great going into the Solana Beach. And, you know, we didn't accomplish our mission. She got in the paddock, got a little nervous on us. She still ran a good race, but it wasn't the race that we were looking for. We were looking for a confidence builder. And so we had to sort of sit back and regroup on, we were running out of time on trying to get a grade one on her. So instead of running in the John C. Navy and then coming back in the Rodeo Drive, that wasn't going to give us enough time. Those races are on top of each other. They're only 3 weeks apart. I think that might have been the edge against some of our competition, is that we did give her that breather. We were a fresh horse. She was training super going into this race. And just, you know, she was her professional self in the paddock. And Juan executed his race the way we sort of spoke about it beforehand. You know, if they're going to let you get to the lead, take advantage of it. And that was the end of the story.
It really was. And, you know, I don't think, I'm just looking, going back to the PPs, had you ridden Hernandez much?
You know, Juan has been campaigning, and, you know, he's had his pass up at Golden Gate. So I'd ridden Juan quite a bit up at Golden Gate. And then he moved his tack down here.
Right.
And, you know, I hadn't ridden him very much since he came to Southern California. But I did ride him quite a bit when he was up at Golden Gate. I mean, he was the man up there, you know, Abel and himself. So either way, you know, we had a lot of confidence in Juan. And he's having a great meet down in Southern California. He had a great Del Mar, and it's transferring over here to the autumn meet at Santa Anita.
You know, and a couple of considerations with her, and she had wired that Cal Cup Oaks back as a three-year-old, so it wasn't the first time that, you know, that she had wired a field. And even though she won that San Clemente last summer, it does feel like she's a little better over the turf at Santa Anita than she is downstate.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one to say. She definitely has run exceptionally well here at Santa Anita. She's had more races at Santa Anita, so more races to prove herself. The races that we've tackled at Del Mar, some of them have been a little bit, they were deeper and tougher. So yeah, that would be hard for me to say one way or another, but we're just, you know, thrilled that she does like it here, and we were able to pull down the Rodeo Drive.
Well, the grade one, and you mentioned George Krikorian, and not unusual, big score, the older brother, and it's also good for Mucho Macho Man, too, to get a grade one winner.
You know, and I want to give a shout-out to Tony Burton at Starwood Farm. That's George's farm in Lexington. They have bred just some fantastic horses. You know, George breeds to sell. And he had Honor AP campaign in the Kentucky Derby. You know,
yep.
He's done very well, and they had another great sale. And they do all the heavy lifting. You know, they pretty much give me a finished product, and I'm very appreciative of it. And just want to thank them for all their hard work.
Well, I'm a huge fan in general. And, of course, you mentioned Honor AP and Krikorian, the family, going back with Hollywood Story, and all she does is just throw one important horse after another. Amazing. And then this branch of the Broodmare band has been very productive in a whole separate vein, Tim. It kind of shows that, you know, that breeding outfits, you know, when you put together a broodmare band and you get, you know, different kinds of families, and yet you get consistent success, it says a lot about your operation.
Right, that it does. And you know, George has got Mr. Big, and he really put a big, big effort into getting Mr. Big going. So we should see a lot of these Mr. Bigs coming out, and I'm making reference to that because obviously Mucho Unusual's brother is by Mr. Big, and real happy with you know, the way he's campaigned, and so hopefully we're going to see him running at Keeneland, and we can win a race at Keeneland with her brother, and maybe even Mucho Unusual. So.
Well, and of course you you ran at Kentucky Downs, and you know, over the weekend, I kept seeing all kinds of West Coast based trainers winning races, Phil D'Amato and Baltus, and you know the group of horsemen that have established strings. You know, Doug O'Neill's got horses in New York right now too. It's you know, obviously, it's to the detriment, to a degree, Tim, of you know, the California racing product. But you know, you got to go where the opportunities are.
You have to go where the opportunities are. But we're so lucky out here on the West Coast. You know, we've gone through some challenges, but so has the whole country. And you know, we're in a restructuring phase right now. Things are really looking good. You have to remember, Steve, training in California is, I mean, it doesn't get any better. You know, the weather, just the consistency of not having to move every few months. There are so many positive things that California has to offer. So it will continue, and we will improve again, you know, like the rest of the country. We've taken our challenges, but California is the place to be. We've always had, I mean, if you consider our horse population, and yet when we go anywhere in North America, we generally are a force that can be counted on to perform. And
sure,
you just look every time anybody from the Southern California circuit shifts anywhere, they're tough.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, and gonna track what you do with Big Score. And while we're on the Mr. Big conversation, what about Big Flame coming off the maiden win?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're looking at campaigning Big Flame soon. Unfortunately, he caught a bug and got sick on us, so he's just gone back to the track. So unfortunately, we were looking at possibly having him show up in the Zuma Beach, but that doesn't look like it's going to come together. But
that's too bad.
It's a long year. He's young, so we're definitely looking forward to campaigning him.
Well, that is too bad because, you know, one thing about it's again, one thing about these families, and here's another mare by Unusual Heat. And if there's one thing we've talked about over the, you know, going back to, you know, discussing it with even with Barry Abrams, the versatility of these horses is amazing, and the way in which the, you know, particularly the Unusual Heat mares seem to just, you know, latch on to whatever good qualities are available from the sire, and they can do anything. They're long, short, turf, dirt. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and it makes me smile, and I'm just so happy for Barry, because long live Unusual Heat. You know, Barry and Madeline, obviously, they were had a phenomenal time with Unusual Heat, and now he continues to basically prove himself as a broodmare sire.
He's like an annuity. He keeps giving. Let's round out the conversation about Unusual, and the obvious opportunity, but what's the thought into the fall? Do you go toward the big prize, or do you, you know, there's some other things, obviously, like, what do you got? You got the Matriarch as an option. What's the short-term
plan? So Exactly, Steve. So the short-term plan is that we haven't etched anything in stone. We're leaving our options open. With the Breeders' Cup being a bit later, obviously I love the spacing for Mucho Unusual into the Breeders' Cup. But you know, we need to get together with our team here and figure out what's going to be the most important thing for Mucho and her page. She'll most likely be retired next year. So are we going to try and take on the world at Keeneland, or are we going to possibly cut back in distance and go into the matriarch? So I'll let you know once we do know. We haven't made a decision, but the main thing is our fillies come out of a race in excellent shape, and we'll look forward towards dialing in our next target.
It is interesting, you know, when as you were talking, I was looking at the distances with her, and she had the run of performances last year at a mile, and then she ran a very good race in defeat to Lady Prance-a-Lot in the American Oaks, which is a mile and a quarter, and then here's this Rodeo Drive at a mile and a quarter, which is that's a little unusual in itself that she's effective. Usually these turfers, they'll have a certain distance that just suits them best, but it feels like she's different in that regard, that she can go 10 or 8.
Right, exactly. And, originally I would have stamped her as more of a miler. She tends to have a very strong but short kick if you watch her races. And but going a mile and a quarter, obviously, it changes the tactics and completely changes the dimensions of her race, and she has more of a sustained run. Obviously, she got away with super easy fractions on Saturday. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. So, I would love to try her at a mile and a quarter again. I'd have no hesitations or even trying her a little bit further. I think she just loves just being up against the bit and ambling along.
Nice. And I'm just thinking that what's the configuration for Keeneland this year with the...
It's a mile and 3/16. Okay. So it's just a cutback, yeah.
It's just a half a furlong shorter.
Yeah.
Well, it's a nice problem. Once you get that grade one, Tim, everything else is gravy.
The pressure's off. But we still we'll want to go out a winner, so hopefully things work out well for us. She's been a very easy filly to train. She makes my job very easy, and I've got a great team. So. Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's see if we can round it out on a good note.
Well, and just going back, first grade one win since 2013 with points, with the wonderful points off the bench.
It was actually Juan Hernandez's first grade one win. I didn't realize that until afterwards.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's always great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that'll be a special win for him. As I know, my first grade one was, and obviously Juan, hasn't been given the opportunities, but I think he's going to get plenty more opportunities now being in Southern California to ride in some of these graded races.
Well, any turf win that doesn't end up in the hands of Umberto Rispoli or Flavian Pratt is notable.
Right, exactly.
Too fun. Tim, delighted for you and for George Krikorian and the whole team. This was good for everybody, and Mucho Unusual back on the win side of the ledger, and a grade one at that. Whatever decisions are made, continued success.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Always fun. Tim Yakteen, everybody, and Mucho Unusual, who I think if I go back to last summer when we had kicked off the we kicked off the Beat Bick contest, and I think she was the first. I think she was the first weekend, and landed on her in that San Clemente, and she won, and you know, became kind of a favorite, tracking her since, and that's great for Juan Hernandez too, his first grade one, and I'm just yeah, let me see, just for actually Tim's first graded stake win of any kind came on the grass too with the Kentucky Cup turf back in 2004. Sabiango, German bred. Are you still there?
I'm still here, Steve. That was a sweet win. The pots weren't as big back then, but they were still big.
Well, and I don't remember Sabiango. What remind me about
Sabiango was a colt that came over from Gestüt Verhof. Monty Roberts had worked with him. He had had some antics. And came to California because he started having some bleeding issues, and you're not able to run on Lasix in Europe.
Right.
So that's how it all came together. And actually, Sabiango was with Bob Baffert at the time while I was his assistant, and we got him ready for the Whittingham and kicked off on a win there. And I eventually ended up going out on my own. I had a very good relationship with Monty for many years. I met Monty when I was working for Whittingham. And Monty and Gestüt Verhof asked if I could, because the horse was with me the whole time. And Bobby's always been just such a big supporter of myself. I take my hat off. He kept me under his wing for a number of years. And I, you know, can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me. And again, you know, at that point, he supported me 100% and said, absolutely, you know. And that's how it all came together.
And I'm just looking at this chart. He beat Bayamo, among others, and continuously. This was in the Whittingham, and was 13-1 too that day with Tyler Bays. That was in the Whittingham, and then you tried the Arlington Million.
I want to say it might have been Tyler's first grade one win as well. I'm not sure.
How about that?
If I recall correctly.
And And then then you went to Kentucky Downs, which at that time was, you know, was not the Kentucky Downs that we know now, but it was still 200,000.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's such a fun place to go. Love Canada.
And he went off favored that day. Brice Blanc rode him that day, and
exactly, yeah.
You beat Shepherd. Shepherd was an early discoverer. He was like Amerigo Vespucci finding Kentucky Downs. The summer would end, and he'd have horses ready for Kentucky Downs. Nobody else even knew what was going on. You beat Rochester that day.
Exactly, and I tell you what, I take my hat off to him. He didn't know me from Adam, and was just so complimentary on our success, you know, and come back after the race and had spoken to me and was just very kind. So my hat comes off. Very class man.
That's great. I'm gonna go find. I gotta go find a picture of Sabiango to put up with our talk today. Tim Yakteen, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Tim Yakteen with a little. We had a little coda there. Sometimes I'll kind of wind up the conversation and pick off a little note like that, and just find out about a horse that that's one of those horses that you know you just. Yeah, you didn't notice at the time, and he only had 4 starts in America, but they were high in North America because he went up to Woodbine too for the Patterson, came here and 4 times, and He had an unusual double. An unusual avenue to winning that Whittingham, because he had run previously at the end of the year in the Hong Kong Vaz. So not a line you see all that often from Sha Tin to Hollywood Park. How about that? Except that was in 2004. There we go. All right, an hour in the books. Let's pause. We'll come back, and Mig's going to join us. And we've got a visit as well with Bill Downs. I want, even though the weather is turned a little iffy at Shelbyville, I do want to at least get a glance and give anybody a look at that carryover sequence at Indiana Grand today. So we'll get that slipped in here. And plus, I got tons of recapping to do as well. And Kelly Breen's tied up, so we can't get to Kelly today. He's tied up till noon, so we'll have to put Kelly off maybe tomorrow. All right, let's take a break. Hour two, Rich Migliori joins us after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA-breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the Races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Serious.